What I thought we'd do first is basically start out with speaking to the mic. Okay. Start with who are freshmen? And we're all going to just comment. I'm kind of emceeing or whatever you call it, monitoring the thing, but we're all going to be involved in just sharing some of our ideas, thoughts, experiences, and we want to get you all to share too. And at times we'll even ask specifically for you to do that. But well, who are freshmen? Well, some of the insights for myself is they're people that are used to living at home, probably, mostly, under their parents' authority, and either in a good relationship or not, or in between. And they've experienced for quite a few years a lot of peer pressure. And now they're vaulted out into an area where they're making a lot of their own decisions, and they want to make a lot of friends. And one of the things is they're very impressionable. The first several weeks will probably be what will pretty much direct the course of their lives while they're at whatever school they're at.
And along that lines, the reason they're impressionable is because they don't have hamster trails like upperclassmen do. They're new to the campus. Everything's new. If you've ever gone to a culture, I went to Mexico City one time, took a group of students from the University of Oklahoma, and it was amazing how you felt so out of place. That's, you know, the language was different. Even like, or make it more practical, I remember going to OU, and I was a commuter, so I never lived in the dorms, and I went to the dorm seat of meal, and I couldn't work the cereal machine. Now, I'm an intelligent college graduate student, but I couldn't make, there's all this cereal in this, you know, in this plexiglass thing, and I know levers, and I'm pretty mechanical, but I couldn't get the cereal into my cereal bowl. And so, But you know, that causes anxiety. And so freshmen, because they're moving into a new environment, they have anxiety, and they need affirmation. They need someone to say they're okay, just like I felt when I was at in Mexico City. I needed for someone to say, you know, hey, to affirm me was deeply, deeply meaningful.
I know when I was a freshman on campus at OSU, I went to Oklahoma State, and I didn't know anybody. I came straight from Alaska, didn't know a person. And I remember hiding a map because I wanted to look like I wasn't a freshman. And I hid a map in my book, and I was kind of looking down at my book, looking like I was studying or something, trying to find where I was going. And some guy walked by, and somehow he knew I was looking at a map. And he goes, ah, you're looking at it up. You must be a freshman. Just started hitting his leg, laughing, and walked away. Well, I was really, I mean, it was like, why am I here? You know, I mean, I really felt bad. But that was one of my first impressions. My first impression, I just share this because it's kind of crazy. As I walk in OSU, they're playing Redneck Mother, two guys with cowboy hats and wearing no shirts. And I was not a cowboy. And I walked into OSU and I thought, oh, man, this is going to be quite 4 years. You know, but it was a lot better experience than I thought.
I guess I can give an example of me being a freshman and coming in to the freshman ministry team. Because where I was at and who I was as a freshman was I was a young Christian. I had accepted Christ in June that summer before I entered college. So I had no spiritual direction. I had hunger, and I didn't, like Bobby said, I didn't have any hamster trails. I knew my roommate. That's the only guy I knew. I lived 3.5 hours away from home. I had never really handled money. I'd never really studied, and so I was kind of thrown out there in amongst the lions, so to speak, and. So that's kind of who I was as a freshman, and though not everybody's going to be a new Christian, I think we're going to see you're going to run across some people like that, hopefully, that will be needing some type of ministry.
So basically, Kevin added loneliness and scared, nervous.
Yeah. You know, all campuses pretty much probably have some Christians on them. And sometimes we have a hard time getting some of the Christians involved. even though, you know, we may be focused more at trying to reach unbelievers too. But this is not getting into a philosophy of what you're trying to do. But one of the things is there are some that are coming from Christian families, and they're looking for a place. I mean, they're wondering if they're going to find any Christian friends. And they're going to look, you know, around, and they're wondering if they're going to make it, some of them. I know at OU there's more so than a lot of campuses. And then some are looking for quality and genuineness. I mean, they grew up under a baby boomer. They're a lot like their parents. And so they're going to look for places. If they're seeking it, they're going to look for truth, but they're also going to look for things that are that are relative. And, you know, if the Christian organization on campus that is trying to reach that person isn't really relative, is living more on the past, then they're going to just excuse it and go on. What do freshmen want? Just a few things I listed, and these guys will go on and give you some more, but what I notice is that they want to make friends. That's one of the biggest things. I mean, that's the key to freshman ministry, is developing friendships. They want real answers to hard questions. They may not even admit that at times, but they really do. They want things that relate to them, their felt needs. They don't want just someone telling them things, even though at times they need us to share things that they don't necessarily want. But they are looking for things that meet their felt needs. And they're looking for for fun. Where are the actions at? Now, I know that's hard because we don't even have any action sometimes when we're developing a ministry. And so it almost, you know, it's like a domino effect. Once you get something going, it may domino, but it's the hard thing is to get it going. But they are looking for, to be honest, they are looking for where the action's at. And another one is they're checking out different options. Even when they're involved in your ministry, they're probably not going to be very committal. That's just part of our society that we have to face nowadays. And things we do have to model and eventually teach. And another one I had was they want to experience. They don't necessarily just want lectures. In fact, very few times they want lectures, especially if your ministry has lectures already involved in it. They're listening to lectures in school. But they want to experience. And they want to dialogue. They really will. Some of them are quieter than others, but they really do want that. The
thing I'd add is fun.
Yeah.
You know, there's all these television shows that portray college life, and they're always portrayed as being fun. You know, mm-hmm. if they're not mm-hmm. in a fraternity or sorority, a lot of them would kind of like to experience some of that. I know I was a commuter in college, and I kind of wanted to be a commuter but still get in on the college life, and I wanted fun. I wanted some activities that I could go and be a college student. Mm-hmm.
And I would chime in on fun. as a freshman, I really did want to have a lot of fun, and I didn't know anyone. And in fact, the first night I was on campus as a freshman, young Christian, wanted to walk with God, went out and got drunk that first night. Because my roommate and another guy, we found some, you know, we met these girls and we ended up getting drunk that night. And I remember laying there in my bed just looking at the ceiling, going, why did I do that? Lord, I just need some, I need something. And that's what freshman ministry team did for me. It got me away from all the things that were pressuring me, you know, my roommate, his friends, you know, And basically, it became kind of a haven for me that I would so look forward to going to freshman ministry team on Tuesday night, because, man, I knew there I would be around some people that were fun and spiritually minded. They could help me grow, and they could give me some strength to overcome those things that I'm facing in the dorm. So that's, one thing that I think they really do, what they're really looking for is something that they can identify with. Because, you know, a lot of your students really do want to grow spiritually. I mean, they may not look like it, or they may not seem to be looking around at other things to feel that. But they really are wanting something that to put inside them.
But that's only one thing they want. They want fun, too. And the thing that was good about the freshman team is they didn't have to choose between those things. It gave them, they didn't have to go against their conscience mm-hmm. when they made that choice. You know, they could have fun, they could have friends. And then they could grow spiritually too. And they wanted that. So.
Yeah. So I guess if you could condense it, you know, students don't necessarily come to look for God. Some do and some don't. But they do come to try to get two F's, friends and fun. And that, I mean, that's, you know, the thing about it, sometimes I think if we're, sometimes we get too serious and we start thinking all these things and we start feeling like if we have too much fun, we're not really being godly. And we're going to lose people if we become too stuck in the mud. You know what I mean. You know what, you kind of know what I'm saying. But we can become so serious we lose people. And that's my problem. I get too serious sometimes. I mean, once you get to know me, I'm pretty crazy, but...
So do you guys just kind of gradually go into the more committed area? I mean, how do you work into the commitment part?
Well, we'll talk about that.
Okay. This third thing, we'll go into what do freshmen need? And we've even hit that a few things. Some of the things I have down here is that something that really does relate to them, as we mentioned, that they're even wanting. They want something that does. They need something that does relate to them, their needs. I'm just going to say here from just the start, I don't think every campus needs to have a freshman ministry. But as you're developing and as you're getting growing in size, and for different reasons, there is a good reason to have a freshman ministry if you can. And another thing is they do need, you know, like we said, they need positive friendships to have good positive influence on them. They all want friends, but they're not necessarily selective sometimes. And they need the basics. Not necessarily do they want the basics, but they need the basics. And basically just how to walk with God, just how to spend some time and help to get motivated towards spending time. I mean, sometimes they know that if they've come out of that kind of background, but to be motivated towards it or really desire it or to deal with the baggage. And that's another one of the basics, I think, is to dealing with the baggage that they have.
Some of the basics, like one is fellowship with God, and by that, and usually the kind of the application we use is quiet time. But the principle is fellowship with God would be one basic. Then another would be get to know God, which usually means time in God's Word. So with that, a lot of times scripture memory is the application. Scripture memory, Bible reading, Bible study. So get fellowship with God. Then time in God's Word. Those would be, I think, probably some of the key
prayer
basic. Yeah,
well, which
prayer
is part of the. Yeah. And another thing is that they want a challenge. I mean, they need a challenge too. A lot of times because they're freshmen, we treat them like junior hires sometimes if we're not careful. And there's some things you can do and treat them like junior highs, especially in the fun elements. But when it comes to some hard things, we don't need to treat them like junior highs. We need to challenge them. What I like to use is a healthy tension. You can overwhelm freshmen, but you don't want to do that. But you do need to give them a healthy tension that does challenge them a little bit beyond where they're at. And they don't want to be talked down to. Not to try to push them too fast. But they also need to be around others that are just like them. So, you know, if you have all Christians in your freshman ministry team, you're going to have a hard time reaching out to unbelievers because they're not going to be around anybody like them. They're going to feel uncomfortable. And another activity is, well, you know, just fun activities for release and social development, but they need help in school, in their disciplines, and their right relationships. Those are big things I notice. Just in school, and sometimes we don't even know unless we really ask that they have problems, if they do.
Is that like priority and use of time?
Right. And a lot of that is with... One of the biggest problems in the academics is not so much how smart they are, it's just the use of time and discipline. And then the right relationships, how to develop those right relationships.
Girl-guy relationships, those, same sex.
Yeah, very few. I think very few churches do a good job helping young people have quality relationships, develop quality relationships.
They'll have problems with their roommates if they live in the dorms.
And they need motivation, modeling of what we teach, and also things that will help them be motivated.
And I was going to add to that on modeling. One of the things freshmen need are quality upperclassmen to be around. The reason the ministry goes the way it does at the University of Oklahoma is, you know, it's already moving, but they see. They can aspire to be like these upperclassmen that they know. And that really motivates them as freshmen. They see these people stand before the group and receive recognition. They see them having a good time. They see them doing well academically. They see them acting with integrity. And they're not getting drunk, but yet they're real happy. And they see the fruit of walking with God 3 years down the road. And so a lot of these freshmen are very intelligent people. They come in there and they may not, this is all internal. None of this, they don't think any of this, but it just kind of happens to them and they don't even realize it. But they want to be like these upperclassmen. And so it motivates them to be godly. So there's, to me, the key thing to the ministry at the University of Oklahoma while I was there, by far, the hinge pin were the Bible study leaders, those upperclassmen that are walking with God, because they were the recruiters for the ministry. They're the models. The students don't care about staff members. The freshmen don't care about staff members. And most of the freshmen you reach, you're going after freshmen. You got to start where you're at. But basically, they're interested in student relationships. They're not interested in staff relationships. They kind of want to keep a distance from you right off. So if you run at them too fast, they'll start, wait a minute, because they're not sure. They're uncommittal, remember. But they do want peers. And those peers include upperclassmen. And so those were those key upperclassmen models will come in.
One week around some OU students, we brought our students down here at this retreat center for our spring break. And the 1 week that our students spent with the other students here in Bible study and just going to eat with them and talking with them, that brief amount of time did more to motivate our gang than everything that we did the whole year. Because they came back from that retreat going, man, oh, so-and-so, well, she really has a great Bible study. Or, man, this one guy, gosh, he just loves God. And he's my age. And they got that kind of, rubbing shoulders with other students. And a lot of our students were freshmen. But it's just that interaction.
They can see it.
Yeah, right? They can see it. And Dennis was talking about challenging students. And I think one key area we really need to challenge students is in the area of commitment. Like Brett mentioned, that talk that I did, I contrasted commitment versus what really our students value now is flexibility. And I don't think you can be a flexible disciple. I mean, you can be flexible in some ways, but you cannot really be flexible in your commitment to Christ. I mean, we are called to be committed to Christ, not be flexible to His gospel.
I mean, in other words, just drifting in and out.
Right. And so, it's worth challenging our students to and calling them to commitment in Christ rather than just being and living as their world is telling them to do. Have options. Leave your doors open. Experience as many things as you can. Don't commit yourself to anything. See, our students really need to be called to commitment. I think they will respond. When they're called to a challenge, I think they will rise to it according to the character that's within them. If they're not going to follow Christ, they're not going to follow Christ, whether you ask them to be committed or not.
Mm-hmm. One other thing freshmen need, and this is just a personal thing with me, but I feel like they need no kidding. The big thing on campus is the kid freshmen, and you razz freshmen and everything. And I always really stressed with the upperclassmen that I worked with, that let's go ahead and let's let other people, there'll be plenty of people to tease them. So let's us not tease them. Why don't we not, let's have a real affirming and really say, oh, you're a freshman. Oh, that's great. Well, welcome, and as opposed to, oh, a freshman, that wasn't a part of our ministry. Now, there's nothing really wrong with that, I guess. We just knew they'd get enough of that. So we wanted to be very affirming, and we didn't want them to have to go through that deal that they go through everywhere they go, and they're just trying to get past their freshman year. We wanted them to have their guards down with us and that they were welcome as freshmen. And even the upperclassmen approached them without kidding them. That's so natural between upperclassmen and freshmen, because you got kidded when you were a freshman, and so that's the thing you do. You dish it out. But I made a big deal about we're not doing that in our ministry. And I think that really helped.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that, because one of the things, and I'm not trying to say OU is perfect at all, but in fact, it may be show one of our sometimes our weaknesses, that once they leave freshman ministry team, sometimes they wish they were back on freshman ministry team, because it really was a great experience for them, and sometimes they wish for that again. They really were. Actually, they are elevated. I mean, freshmen are elevated. We're not trying to elevate them to leadership necessarily for everybody, but really they feel special.
They feel special. Yeah.
And sometimes they don't feel so special the next year. So that's the thing we have to work with. Oh, that's fine. I don't mind.
Will these freshmen on the freshman ministry team, will they be in a Bible study just with other freshmen?
We will wait on
that. Okay,
we
will hit that one. Yeah. Okay, that's a good question.
We're almost there.
We're just I got one last thing here. This is the obvious one. Is that the ones that don't know Christ need him. But here's the problem, and that is that they need to be friends with people that won't treat them like a project. And they need to be treated like a person that God loves instead of as a project. And I mean you can have the best intentions in the world, but if even yourself or people you're training, if we're not trained in the right way to love people, if we don't understand just loving people for who they are, whether they accept Christ or not, then they're going to see through us and realize that they're just a project, and they probably won't give us the time of day. I mean, that's the hard thing, but it's true. And I face that sometimes. I think people can see when I treat them as a project.
What are some things you can really pray for, you know, for yourself in preparing to work with freshmen, so that you do go in with the mindset that, I really want to love these people, and not for them to come away with the feeling of, you know, great, here's another campus group coming after me, but this person really just wants me to have a really good freshman year and to be the best I can be.
We'll answer that. Let me tell you where we're going to, so everybody knows. We're just going to basically briefly talk about briefly the OU ministry we were involved in, and then we're going to open it up. And what we want to do is help have a real dialogue and help you see where you're at and how you can apply some of the principles to your specific situation. Because chances are, what we did at OU will not work in your situation. It won't work where I'm at. It won't work where Kev's at, and it probably won't work where you're at. But what can we do to make, you know, to help apply the principles to where you're at? Does that make sense? So we'll briefly tell about the OU deal, and then we'll move to more of a brass tacks time. I'm gonna deal with that question.
Well,
oh, go ahead.
Which question? The one she just asked? Yeah. Let's deal with that one now. That'd be
what
good.
Can you pray for?
Yeah, you know, just an idea, because I know sometimes when I was a transfer student, and, you know, I had known the people in the ministry that were at our campus, and sometimes that's what I really walked away feeling like was, you know, I'm this research project, and hook me, prod me, you know, mold me and make me, and I'm going, no, I just want to feel like, I want to grow, but I really want to make an impact
with
people I'm around too.
I think probably the key thing that your ministry has got to do is that it has to meet their needs. You know, because you have to hit those freshmen with where they're at. You can't come at them with your product. You've got to come at them according to the market that they're in. You know, what are the things that they're dealing with? Most likely freshmen don't know how to study. You know, either that or they don't know how to study in a college level. And secondly, they need some friends. I mean, those are probably the two biggest things, you know, that we overlook. We often think, oh, they need Christ and they need spiritual help and input and this and that. And they do need that, but that's not what they're feeling right now as freshmen.
It's not their felt needs.
Right. Yeah. And so what we need to do is see these freshmen coming in as helping them for what their felt needs are, and praying, God, you know, give me some ideas of how I can help these freshmen feel accepted and loved, and meeting their needs, because I don't want to use them and just sell them my bill of goods.
Mm-hmm. You know, one thing, and I really stress this, is, and this falls right in line with what Kevin's saying, is that when we're going out, we really do want to meet their needs, you know, and we're trying to help them understand how we can meet their needs. But the big thing I would pray for, because this is hard. I mean, this isn't just a system you just sit up and say, okay, this is the way it is. And that is to treat people where you're not trying to recruit them to your thing, but you really care for them, and you need to have a lot of options for them. And a lot of those options may be something that that doesn't even involve you. I mean, I've recruited people to Crusade, Campus Crusade, to a Methodist Student Union. I recruited people to just to Bible studies, but not to FMT, because I felt like where they're at and what they wanted, I wouldn't. I mean, if I just kept trying to push FMT at them, they were going to resist anyway. And sometimes the best thing for them, maybe. I mean, for me personally, at times when I see someone really heavily involved in the Greek system at our campus, I try to get them involved in Crusade. I really don't ask them to try to be involved in OU right now. Now, I'm not saying I would do that in the future, but that's just where I'm at now. And I even spent a year with a guy, because he was roommate with a non-Christian that I started in a Bible study. But I really helped him grow, and I knew he was going to stay in Crusade, and now he's one of the Crusade's leaders. But he wasn't part of our ministry at all. And now, you know, that's just the way it is sometimes.
You found it helpful to know the strength of the other evangelicals.
Definitely. Find out the good Christian groups on campus, and you may help be a recruiter for them. I mean, sometimes this is the way it is.
One thing, I don't know if you guys did this, but when I was going through the team, the first 3 weeks were devoted to how to survive socially and how to survive academically. And then the third one was the spiritual commitment. But the first 2 weeks were just, hey, here's how to orient yourself to studying. And here's how to make good friends. So, you know, trying to address those things that they're feeling and see them not as unspiritual, but as a chance to serve them.
We're going to skip on how to do how we do our OU ministry. Pretty much, it's in the book.
If you have specific questions, you can ask. But we'll move right to that third section. We're just trying to make it real on your campus, and so we'll move to the dialogue time.
Let's just come up. We'll do dialogue, and you can ask questions like this. But let me tell you some of the key. Let us say some of the key ingredients, because it may answer your question, it may not, and then you can answer. But we'll go back to this, because I'd like you to put it under this category. And back again, first, well, besides friends, but key ingredient is upperclassmen. And here's why I say it, because they've shared a little bit, and they may share some more. But here's one of the reasons. I feel like if we're going to train people in our ministry to become disciple makers, we've got to give them the opportunity to have the experience and to give them the opportunity to fail also. And now, you don't just throw people out there untrained. I mean, there's a fine balance. But the thing about it is, if we're going to train our upperclassmen to really develop that kind of mentality, we've got to give them the ministry. And personally, now, all of us are different in the way we do things. I mean, you all are different in the way you do things. But what I do is, first of all, I'm not real sanguine. So I'm not really appealing it in front of a crowd.
No.
Secondly, is I'm an organizer. And my tendency is to do everything. And so I really prayed hard and worked hard towards delegating. And I've seen some great things happen through that. And so what I do, and it hurts, you know, I did have a chance to develop a really close relationship with a freshman the first year. But after that, as each year went by, I had less and less relationship with freshmen and more just training the upperclassmen, even though I was in charge of the freshmen. And what I did is I passed on my life into the upperclassmen so they could pass their life and have a ministry with the freshmen. And the freshmen, I think, were helped more this year than any other year, even though I had less contact with them as far as really being involved in their lives. Because the upperclassmen were trained, they enjoyed it, they were developing a ministry. Now, there was things I wish, you know, I could have done, or I thought I could do better. But, you have to work on adjustments and stuff. But the thing about it is that them being under those freshmen, upperclassmen, was so important. In fact, every time I do a feedback, every year, number one thing that they say that they enjoyed the most is being under upperclassmen, being around upperclassmen. In fact, they even asked, please, our suggestion for next year is to make more things happen with upperclassmen so they can get around them. They want more and more time with upperclassmen. Never have I seen them say, I really enjoyed the staff. Once in a while they say, I like you, and it's not. They just don't talk much about what they think about the staff in real positive. You know, they don't say negative things. They just don't say much.
When you're talking about upperclassmen, expound on that a little bit. How do you select them? How many do you have? What do you do with
Oh, I'm sorry. Could you repeat it real loud?
Why don't you just go ahead and repeat
it? I didn't hear it because I was... Say it one more time, George.
When you're talking about upperclassmen, expand on that somewhat. How do you select them? What do you do with them? And what do they do? How many are there?
How do you select them? What do you do with them? How many are there? What do they do? That's one. Go ahead.
I think one thing, you have to cast the vision out. Brett was talking about that. You have to cast it out there and really kind of spell it out to these upperclassmen, saying, man, you guys are the most important part of this ministry. I mean, you really do have to image it for them so that they say, man, I want to do that. You know, that's me. I'm a part of this. I'm not just a cog in the wheel. I'm really contributing to this ministry. And when the students get that sense that they are contributing to the ministry, and they're really gonna go after it. So find students that you can first cast that vision out to, you know, and you may not have a lot to deal with. I mean, that's, we don't have a lot of, we'll have more upperclassmen now because our freshmen this year are now sophomores, but we'll try to just cast that vision to them and let them know, man, you guys are so important to this ministry.
Now, who is upperclassmen? Are you saying sophomore, junior, senior?
Yeah.
Well, depending on your ministry, how much you use sophomores, you know. But one thing is, some of you are going to have to fill the role of being an upperclassman because you don't have it. You know, you don't have any upperclassmen, or very few. And so you just take that role. And what you're doing is you're getting involved in their lives, where they're going to be eventually your leaders. They're going to help you. And so you invest your time in their lives. So I'm not saying that you just go out and get any upperclassman that breathes.
Yeah.
You're gonna have to fill that role a lot of times on smaller campuses or new work with freshmen, things like that.
But oftentimes sophomores are your better upperclassmen because they have just come through that.
Yeah.
Being a freshman is still on their mind. They know exactly what they're going through.
Yeah.
You know, and so if they have been encouraged and motivated, they'll go out, hey man, this group met my needs. This was so good for me. I hope you can come get involved. So sometimes sophomores are the best selection of upperclassmen.
I'll just say, and then we'll get to your question right after this. I'm just going to say real concise. What I do is, as I recruit people that I've developed relationships with, but mostly, occasionally I get people, because our ministry is so big, occasionally I'll get people that I don't know as well, but I've had a good word from other staff people, and they're motivated to want to work with freshmen. So I get people motivated to work with freshmen, people that I've invested my life in mostly. Secondly is I try to get freshmen involved in things that are fun and challenging. And so one of the things I really try to major on, besides just meetings every week, is retreats, things with just different kind of large group activities that are enjoyable. That's one of the best ways for them. In fact, I think it's the key to our whole year is that having a retreat after the first 2 or 3 weeks of school with the freshmen. Just freshmen for the first one. Now, after that, it's negotiable. You know, in fact, I would prefer to have a retreat after that with upperclassmen, even though we normally have had it with freshmen again. But basically have it with freshmen, get some real camaraderie going, do a lot of fun things, get them to know each other. There's lots of things you can do. But boy, that's the key. Wouldn't you say, Bobby? I mean, Bobby told me that when I first came. The key are those retreats.
That's when in our ministry at OU, that's when they really came together as a team, because there's more extended time. In fact, that's one of the biggest problems we run into on our campuses, is people's time is so short. But, you know, if you can get a student away for a weekend, you can really get them if they have a good time and you hit them with some good messages and stuff. If you can get them away for a week, like Gloriette or something, it's even more, you know. But it's hard to pull them away, but you got to do it. That's why this retreat center is so nice.
On that one right there, do you primarily take that time for your time to speak to them, or do you bring in people?
I've done both. But a lot of times, if I can bring in someone who's a motivating speaker, it just frees me up to relate more to the fresh, to relate more to them.
First one, we usually brought in Max, and he just shared a vision of a life, basically. I mean, he just
which is very motivating.
Yeah. And then we usually did some things that, according to their felt needs, but we did a lot of fun interaction type stuff. It was more of a fun retreat the first time. The second time, it's more, just get challenged a little bit more.
Yeah, the first one, you really don't want to try to give them any spiritual help, any information. You just want to motivate them spiritually. You know what I mean? Don't have this... The thing you don't want to do is kill your program by trying to give them too many meat and potatoes and feel like, okay, I've got them, and now I really need to blast them with this stuff because they really need it. You know, you can't think that way. It's really relational. It's a relational retreat primarily. I just did something, the best retreat we've ever had at the University of Colorado. We called it a veg retreat this last year. And we went away we just vegged out. And you couldn't bring any school books, and there couldn't be any curriculum. You just vegged out together. And it was one, and we had more people attend that than anything else we've done. You know, they loved it. And there was I had a lot of hidden agenda in that weekend. People sharing their quiet times and what they got out of them and stuff like that. But it was all hidden agenda. And it was so fun because it was very relational.
Let me come back to it on this, because I'm trying to think where you guys are at. Some of you may be in a situation where you don't have many Christians or people that are even making it. And one way to recruit freshmen is just to get a bunch of freshmen, and most of them may not even be believers. Now, I don't know where everyone's at. I would just make it towards them. Just make it. What would a secular freshman enjoy? And just make it that way. You may not do much spiritual. You may have a few people share a testimony or something like that. I don't know. I haven't thought through that. But you might want to do something very light on the spiritual and very heavy on just having fun. What would your basic college student that doesn't even know God enjoy? And you can be very creative on that.
And you may need to talk with some of these gung-ho Christian freshmen and kind of clue them in.
Right.
You know what I mean? If they think, oh, this is so shallow, you know, or something like that.
Yeah, you got to help them.
But my problem, I don't have that. I don't have all these gung-ho committed Christians. Yeah. At OU, we probably have to clue some people in because they come ready to go.
I lose. I mean, I've seen us lose every year one key guy that we thought would be the savior of the BSU. You know, I mean, they look so impressive. I mean, they were wonderful. But we've usually lost one of those people every year simply because it wasn't deep enough for them. They didn't have a vision of having a ministry. They just want everything to be given to them and then to do their own thing. And it was sad. You try to befriend them over the time. But sometimes that's just part of it.
That's the way it goes.
Anything? Oh, you had the question. Also, the Bible study one. Why don't you say that one again, too?
Well, okay, that my first question is related to, I guess, what I'm hearing you say. You're trying to take a group of freshmen, they have specific needs, specific characteristics, and you're trying to do something with this group specifically because upperclassmen are different, they've been around, they have different needs. And yet at the same time, you're saying that what the freshman values most, and what I remember too, I guess, is interacting with those upperclassmen and getting around them. So I guess what I'm trying to figure out now, where's the, is there some balance? Do you involve the freshmen in the Bible study that's led by an upperclassman, or is there a variety of people in that Bible study? How are the Bible studies organized, or is everything, where are the limits? How much do you do with just freshmen, and how much do you
start off?
Push them out into making sure that there is interaction with upperclassmen?
I think it depends. It begins with where you're at. For us, I'm starting off, really, I haven't even done a freshman, big freshman deal till this next...
Just clarify, he's at CU now.
I'm at the University of Colorado. I just finished my third year, and I need to go after freshman.
He is the real Bobby Pruitt.
I need to go after freshman this next year. But I won't be able to, it'll depend how much I can do with just them on how many I can get around. They love the herd. And we found at OU, the freshman herd was great. But that's because we could do the freshman herd. You know what I mean? Because we had all these upperclassmen going after them and bringing them all together. And we had that herd, and they were all very similar. But that won't work at CU. and I'm going to have to really incorporate them a lot more primarily with upperclassmen, maybe even from the beginning. What I will do at CU is I'll try to get a freshman study going with just freshmen, and depending on how that goes, you know, will depend on how much they're just with each other.
See, at OU, our freshman ministry team is not a Bible study, even though we look at the Bible and examine Scripture, some more, some less. What we do is deal with topics, and we start with what it almost looks like is we deal with the inward aspects and then the outward aspects later. But you look at some of our structure, and you can see a little bit of that. But one thing is that we get the freshmen to try to we really try to get them involved in Bible studies in the floors or their commuter Bible study, whatever, where they'd like to go and be a part of that. And there will be a number of freshmen, but there'll be usually some different levels of students where they're at as far as academically. And so you get them involved in that. And sometimes that's the best thing that they enjoy the most. In fact, some of them will just go to the Bible study and not come to FMT. Some people struggle with finding a Bible study that they really enjoy because they like FMT so much. Actually, FMT is probably a little bit more shallow at times than a Bible study, depending on the Bible study leader and where they're going. And so you have that. You try to get them into both. And usually, I mean, this past year, almost everybody did. And we had great Bible study leaders. And, well, I don't know if I can say great. They're all good. I mean, I thought they were great, but they were good. And but the thing is that, boy, it's totally negotiable on where you're at and where your campus is at and stuff like that. I mean, some places all you can do is just say, hey, let's have a bi-weekly Bible study with freshmen. I mean, there's so many variations just where your needs are. But Bible study is good. The thing is, I think, and this is the point I was trying to come to, is sometimes we think that everything we do with freshmen has to be a Bible study. And it needs to be that way. Others, at times, it doesn't. But it doesn't always have to be, a meeting doesn't always have to be a Bible study.
Could we talk about recruiting freshmen a minute? Because I think that's where a lot of you are at. You're wondering, how do I go out and get this thing going? I remember a person from Iowa State came and spent a week on our campus to look at our freshman team, and because he was getting ready to start a freshman deal, and he went back and totally threw away every single thing that he had gotten from me because his situation was different. At OU, Brett mentioned they've narrowed outreach to spiritually motivated freshmen, and they've got this system going, this grease thing, and a lot of these seniors in high school, they're planning on being on the freshman team before they even get there. And the whole ministry is geared to reach out, but in their situation, this wasn't really relevant to where they were at, so it was different. So let's talk about reaching freshmen, and you guys can throw in your input as well. Would you begin to say? Well, let me say, at OU, basically, the upperclassmen were ready to go at the beginning
of your year.
It's real key. And so these students, as soon as the students start unloading, we're done with our retreat, and starting to gather people. And the upperclassmen are geared up to go after new people living in the dorms, okay? And it's a dorm-centered ministry primarily. And they bring a lot of these spiritually motivated freshmen, and then you get a great backwash of some non-Christians and just all kinds of people that just kind of happen to be around. They kind of flow in, and then they get caught up in the net with these other freshmen. And that's really the way it works at OU, is these some know beforehand, and then primarily upperclassmen go out there and just, really talk it up. And if you can get people to the meeting, a lot of times they'll stay because they have a good time. They have mixers, get to know you, and there's all these people just like them. And it's very motivating because of the friends and the fun element that they have. Now, that's not going to work on my campus because I don't have a whole bunch of spiritually motivated freshmen. But that's the way it works at OU.
At Nebraska this year, I think a lot of times we'll come to a seminar, I need to get a freshman team started on my campus. Okay, I want to start one next year. Well, what we've tried to do is see that our freshman team, what we would ideally like to have, probably will be about 3 years down the road. Now, we started this year trying to target freshmen, and it takes time to build the tradition into our into the students. Our primary focus on freshmen was the freshman orientation. And I don't know what you guys, if you guys have anything like that on campus, but it's an ideal time to get the attention of freshmen, because they all have to go through orientation together, and then they all go through the it's called a Big Red Welcome, and in the indoor track area they have all types of booths, businesses, people giving away food, clowns, balloons, the band, you know, and it's party atmosphere really. And it's almost like Christian Rush, because we're out there with NAVS and Crusade, and we're just trying to, I mean, we're trying to recruit people. But we only had an hour and a half to do it, and so we gave away, we tried to do a survey in order to get someone's name, and the survey was just a basic three-question survey, and ask if they were interested in a Bible study. If they were, they'd give us their name and address, and then they'd go get a free brownie, then turn their survey in to get a brownie. So we ended up with 250 names, I mean, out of that survey. And so everybody, you know, split up, and we visited a small section of that 250, and eventually pared it down to about 40 freshmen that were involved, that we got involved in Bible studies, and people that we had contact with that were not hostile to us. They would come to a party, or, you know, some type of relationship. So mid-semester, we designed a party just for freshmen, and so we sent out an anonymous note to all the 40 of these freshmen, saying something weird is going to happen to you Wednesday night. And that's all they got. So we got some of our upperclassmen together and said, okay, at this time we're going to go kidnap these people that we sent notes to. Well, 28 of the 40 we were able to kidnap, and they showed up to a deal, and we did a scavenger hunt, and it was like late at night, like 10:30 at night, didn't get over till 12:30. But it was that kind of wild, crazy fun that they really enjoyed. Now, next year, that will be in their minds, and they'll think, oh yeah, that was fun. So when we kind of start dropping the seeds for doing freshman ministry, I think, yeah, okay, I'll do that. So hopefully the next fall and spring, that we'll be able to take another step, and then hopefully again in a year we'll take another step toward what we're, the ideal freshman ministry that we'd really like to have. So I think that's one thing that's helped me in planning and trying to minister to freshmen. It's not just going, you're not going to get your whole deal started in 1 year. It's going to take some years of steps and building into some tradition and getting your students to see it.
That's good, because I think about where we're at CU. Well, we right now, unfortunately, almost all our students, to my dismay, have moved out of the dorms. So see, at OU, this starts out, you've got all these upperclassmen in the dorms, and they're motivated, and they're where the freshmen are. Well, that's, and it's, you know, primarily the way you get people to come to something is you physically bring them. It's relational. It's not, you know, your brochure isn't going to do much for you, probably. So I have to think, I have to backtrack like Kevin's talking about at Nebraska and think, now how do I get to that place where I have these students in the dorms that are motivated to bring students or something like that, and we're not there.
You know, one thing I want to say too is trying to think of, I don't want to say too much about OU simply because of how big it is, and most of us aren't on that big of a ministry, but some of the things that I thought were really good for us, in fact the most popular thing, that we try to recruit, but freshmen aren't good recruiters. I mean, they're good overall, or a slow time where you're not really trying to do an event. They'll recruit friends as they come to FMT and stuff, or Bible studies, but they're not good to recruit at a big event very often. We've tried hard. But I think would work if with upperclassmen, because I worked with Campus Life for 3 years, and we did have people that were really involved in Campus Life the year before use this thing. And what it's called a wild goose chase. And I've used real gooses other places, never here, but because they poop on you all the time if you catch them. But anyway, they're hard to get. Well, anyway, so wild goose chase is great though. And what I do is I have a little wood goose that they finally find. It's hidden someplace. But it's like a scavenger hunt, but that's just one part. You have a scavenger hunt, you have these maps, you have these numbers they have to add up. I mean, if you ever want to know about it, I won't explain now, but if you ever want to know, you may have to get a hold of me in Virginia, because it would be too hard to get all the information to you now, because I'm leaving this weekend. But You can adapt it totally to where you're at, your campus, your place, because it adapts to what your surrounding is in your town. But it is one. It's probably every year the funnest one-day thing we do with freshmen. I mean, they love it. In fact, upperclassmen, I have more than enough upperclassmen want to help us do it the next year. What you do, you drive around in vans or station wagons with your group, and you do all kinds of crazy things, and you get together for a big cookout, and you wouldn't have to, because I think as years go by, you're going to have less and less opportunities to keep people all day. More people are leaving after the wild goose chase is over in the mill, but we actually have been keeping them over for a movie. We go through a movie called Charade. You go halfway, then they all do skits in their little family groups to show everybody to come up with the end of the movie, because they never, usually no one's ever seen this, and then we show the rest of the movie, and it's a lot of fun. It's a good day event, but just don't expect to, you know, as years go by, it seems like it's less and less people stay at something all day. But the Wild Goose Chase is one of the, it's definitely a highlight, and I would recommend it highly. And I can help you anytime you want on that. You just get, you know, you can get my name and address from Barbara at the BSU or whoever, and I could send you any materials I have on it, because it's just a, it's a great recruiting tool. It's really been good for me in the past. I just say it hasn't been good with freshmen trying to recruit freshmen.
We've got about 5 minutes.
I've narrowed it down. We've done things like for Operation Move. We have to move in the dorms. Getting freshmen is not so much a problem. Being creative in the FMT time. Social survival is great. Academic, spiritual. They like those topics. It's work. What do you do during those times when you have, let's say, just freshmen together and you have a group leader with them? Would you give some creative ideas maybe that time and how you plan it, maybe real quick, probably help you?
Well, in different ones, I have panels of upperclassmen share, well, for example, in spiritual survival, share ideas, just fun things to do, social survival. On spiritual survival, it's done different ways, but we'll try to, we may even take a little passage out of Scripture and just share a little bit about it, but then we'll have upperclassmen involved in just sharing what's helped them survive spiritually on campus. Academically, we actually go through ways to help you study and how to take a test and things like that. It's very academic oriented, but I've never known anyone not really enjoy it. And the thing is that one thing I have been recommended is not to have too many panels, because I started with a lot of panels at first, but you know, a panel or two is great the first 4 or 5 weeks, because then they're just getting to know the upperclassmen and stuff. Just don't hammer panels, but it's great to get upperclassmen in front to share either through testimony or insights or creative things. I mean, Bobby did this one thing. It wasn't a survival thing, but it was and it was off the cuff, like, you know, Bobby is. And but he did this thing on, you use words like dollars. I wish I could remember. He came up with all these different weird words, and they had to come up with a skit based upon those words to portray Bible study. Or reading the, or having time with God, or time alone with God. And he used these funny terms. I mean, he was just, it's really creative. And you had some amazing creativity skits. I mean, sometimes they didn't relate at all to what you're trying to get across, but a lot of times you could come back with it. And it's just neat to get them to do that. So basically what I try to do is just get, instead of me getting up and lecturing, try to get the upperclassmen involved. And I do share some things, though. I do share some basic things for about 5 or 10 minutes. Now, some people, you may want to share things for 15, 20 minutes. It's just up to what you think is best.
The guy who, Ralph Naber, who started the freshman team, he was more of a preacher. And he had his 30 to 35 to 40 minute time where he hammered him, and that worked great for him because that was based on his strength. I was less that way, and Dennis was even less that way, so you just saw this transition of this big large lecture time just diminished through the years, and Dennis increased the role of helpers. I think I had, Ralph might have had one coordinator. I ended up doubling the number, and I had two girls and two guys. And this guy comes along and he's blows it open and has how many?
Well, 8. I always ask for 10 every year, but we get 8.
So you know what I mean. But as far as topics you do with freshmen, what are topics? A lot of the meat and potatoes.
So they're right there in the book. From the,
okay, yeah. Okay.
And would you move to more heavier topics your second semester? Or is there a transition into that second semester?
This is one thing I really wanted to comment on. You have a real problem keeping, I mean, people don't like things over and over and over again the same. And boy, I mean, I change this thing every year, and I'm sure George is going to be changing things. And I mean, it's the second semester, you have to work with an element of trying to be creative and yet deep. Because basically, you do have people are open to be deep by then. In fact, some of them wish you were deeper earlier. But it depends where your campus, where you're going to be. But what I did is I started dealing with the hard attitudes last year. It was very challenging, but yet light enough. They could read a little bit of something and discuss it. And basically what it did is a lot of discussion, and there was no lecture. And at times, we didn't even have FNT all to get together. They'd go to different people's apartments or houses where they lived, and they'd have their time there, and they'd talk about the topic. And, you know, I thought, oh, man, that's going to hurt us for the next week. They may not all come, or they may not all go to that. They think it's time to take a break. It didn't happen. They came because their small groups are so effective. They wanted to be there. And so what we did is we changed the variation of meetings, where we did it, how we did it. We didn't have the same routine, but we did get the challenge in the deeper areas. And I covered the character areas before. I've done with the pursuit of holiness type things. But I do hit evangelism pretty hard and some practical skills on that. And then morality, purity, and ethics. I mean, that's something that's optional totally. But I really try to hit reaching out. And so we'll have a rally every month, just like it was the semester before. But outside of that, it's more just almost totally small group, small family group meetings. Right, for the big thing. Well, they still come together on some of the other meetings, and we do a fun thing for them to just to get among all their friends, and then they break down their groups for like almost all but 15 minutes of the time. Right, a girl and a guy lead each group. And sometimes they break down into smaller groups of girls and guys, depending on the topic and stuff. But that's just how we do it. Yes, George.
Real quick, just mention what the hard attitudes are. I don't know if everybody knows.
Okay, it's in the list.
Oh, the hard
attitudes. The hard attitudes. But there's some more on churchmanship, and there's another one on giving to your church. That's at least the seven hard attitudes of a church I was involved in. But Milt Hughes published the student magazine with six articles from different people on the hard attitudes, and that's the ones we used. Actually, I used those articles in the student magazine. You can get past articles probably from that, and they're really good little starters. And so they're in there, and those are the hard attitudes we dealt with.
The second thing, speak real quickly to when you told me about the, you kind of let the group go 1 week and it didn't affect the meeting time.
Yeah, that was, well, I mentioned it briefly, but is that, you know, we go along and, okay, the upperclassmen get motivated. They really plan, you know, for this. And they, one place went to this place, there's a restaurant, and it was kind of too busy, and they realized that wasn't the best place. But what they do is they get to choose where they want to go, and what most of they end up doing is some of the ones that lived off campus would have them come to their apartment or their house, and they would meet there and have their meeting there. And they'd usually do something creative at the first, but yet they deal with the topic, they get discussion and things like that, and then they'd share what's going to happen the next week, and they'd all come back together the next week. And it's amazing. We actually had times where we'd have a meeting. Well, it wasn't real up and down. I think we started out with 45 people this year, and the lowest we ever had was 39, and we ended up about 45. So, I mean, it was pretty consistent. But the thing is that 1 week it'd be about 45 people, and then, I mean, 42 people, or maybe 40, and they'd go out away for a week, and they'd come back, and, you know, the next week they may be coming back, and you think, oh, man, you know, you healthy. And, you know, it'd be a stronger group the next week. And so it really did work. The thing is that the only way it works, though, is to really develop. Well, small groups have to be tight enough to be able to do that. And then you got to battle cliquishness. That's the thing. They always said, and in fact, our campus is a real problem. Hopefully it won't be on your campus. Is our students do not know how to reach out to non-Christians. That's a real problem in our ministry. And even the freshmen noticed that. They said, we don't do enough things to reach out and make people feel comfortable that are non-Christians. So that's something you're going to definitely want to deal with. And I think we need to deal with at OU.
Let's do a closing comment. Start here.
I would just say, go after freshmen. But realize developing the ministry to freshmen will take a few years. You won't have a freshman ministry team in 1 year. It will take some time. So don't, you know, try to develop your vision of what you would really like to do with freshmen, and be patient and let it grow and watch it build over the years.
I would say that get a lot of feedback. constantly. Feedback from freshmen and the upperclassmen. And when you're meeting with your upperclassmen, you know, just keep trying to find out where they're at, how's it going, how are you feeling. Try to help meet their needs, because that'll help them be motivated in what they're doing. And then another thing is go with them at times. I mean, you can't do everything they do. You go with them at times, and for example, what I did with a lot of my guys, because my heart's towards evangelism more, is I'd share Christ in front of them. I mean, we'd set up some kind of meeting or sometimes impromptu things. We didn't necessarily go knocking on doors, but usually there was some way we either had a relationship with someone. We go on purpose together, and we meet the guy. And if it, sometimes I didn't get to share Christ at all. I just didn't. Spirit wasn't leading that way. But most of the time I could share our eternal conversation towards Christ and just model in front of them what it was like, because there's a big fear there.
I agree with you, because during our campus revival, when you had, you know, say 50 saved in that first night with a girl, Dawn, I had one freshman guy, man, he was just ecstatic. It worked.
Mike, I would just say that, remember, you know, you mentioned building a team is a period over a few years. Well, also, you know, what I want to produce is a man or woman of God who are going to walk with God the rest of their lives. And their freshman year is simply a part of that. And I can't do everything their freshman year. So I'm just going to do some things. I'm going to basically try to get them committed to the ministry. And I want to give them some food, too. And that's really what I want to do, is really help them grow spiritually. But I've got to complement that with their felt needs and kind of what they want. But I don't want it to be too shallow, you see. But I want them to enjoy what they're doing. And I constantly have to evaluate the funsy element versus the content element and try to make sure that I'm not erring on either side. Because you can err on the other side, too. You know, these people are having a good time, but they're starving, you see. And they, maybe they don't even hang around because you're not moving on with them enough. So there's a balance there.
I just one sentence.
Go ahead, sure.
Is that, and again, I realize that you have to start, but whether they're involved in the freshman ministry team or not, whether you have one or not, freshmen, for most places, is the key to the success of your ministry. And you know, that you got to realize that it is an important. It's not just a babysitting time; it's an important time.
Feel free to talk to us during the rest of the time. Let's close in prayer.